You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Let's go! Welcome to a brand new episode of The Cooligans.
It's The Cooligans, buddy.
As always, I'm excited to be here. Hello, my name is Christian Polanco, and I'm here with my guest co-host, just sharing the stage today with someone who is it's been long overdue that we, you know, to have her on the show. One of the best Twitter follows in women's soccer, without a doubt. There's, you know, as a comedian, I appreciate the humor and levity that you bring to the game. The coolest 23-year-old I know. you gotta watch the super young the vibes and hand gestures that she is bringing. But I'm joined by none other of Equalizer Soccer, a great publication for women's soccer. Please give it up for Jenna Tonelli, everybody. Jenna, what's up?
Thank you so much for having me. What an introduction. And now it's permanently on the record. 23.
Exactly.
No doubts about it. If any people, don't ask to see my long form birth certificate.
The haters who question your age are really just, these are just trolls.
Yeah, okay? I know.
These are not.
I don't have time for it.
Okay? If you don't got haters, you ain't popping. So, Jenna, thank you so much for joining me. This is, Alexis couldn't be here today, so apologies on his behalf, because CBS decided to send him to London and to Dortmund for UEFA Champions League. Not even that interesting of a tournament. I don't know why they're doing all this stuff. But yes, if people saw the Champions League coverage on Paramount Plus and CBS, you saw Alexis at the Emirates. You saw him chopping it up with Thierry Henry, almost getting, I don't know if it's into a fight.
I wouldn't call it a fight. A fight is a little strong.
Somebody on Twitter said that they were going blow for blow. Oh. Like just a little sparring match. Roasting each other.
You know, I have to say, I didn't really pay that much attention to what they were saying, because when I saw him and I knew I was coming on, I was like, what?
Yeah, well, you're not supposed to be there.
I was like, get back on that plane. We have work to do.
Okay, you should be there while I am present. So that was a dope thing to see. And then Alexis went to Dortmund for the Dortmund PSV match. Just a wild, story in the Cooligans universe.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty crazy
that
this stuff is happening. And look, just like you have people doubting that you're 23 years old, we have people that doubt the fact that the legitimacy of us even being in front of the camera next to Thierry Henry.
And now they have even more reason.
Exactly. Bro, that's it, dog. We're all 23.
That's right.
And thriving.
30, flirty, and thriving, but 23.
Exactly. All right. So we're here today to talk about a lot of, NWSL. The NWSL season is starting this weekend.
Yes,
the Challenge Cup is happening tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Gotham against San Diego Wave. The new look Gotham. So there's a lot to kind of be excited. This season, you are the beat reporter, mm-hmm, for Gotham FC. So I want to get into those specifics and details. We're going to talk a lot of WOSO today. But I want to let people know, Jenna Tonelli, and how you got into this business, how you got into the game, because we've met a couple times, yes, in passing. Usually at I think the first time we met was at the NWSL final, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. I mean, at least the first time I met you. I don't know if met Alexis somewhere else. But I remember in at Audi Field.
Yes, that's right. Against, I remember.
Thorns against Kansas
Thorns
City.
Kansas City, yes. And but was I was spying on you when you would come to Red Bull. I was like.
Okay. Like, all right, we got stalkers.
Like, there they are.
Yeah, Jenna had binoculars and she was 12 feet away from us.
I know. I'm in the press box, like.
Like, just checking. Well, dope. No, so I'm glad you're here. But as far as you know, starting to cover this team, cover NWSL. I mean, what's the journey been like? You know, before you got to this moment now.
Yeah. So it was just so weird. I mean, so I was on Twitter one day, just tweeting, making some jokes, mm-hmm. you know, nobody's paying attention to me, I believe.
Right.
And I get a DM from this guy, Greg. He runs a site called Jersey Sporting News, and they cover all sports in New Jersey, a local site. They cover, like, high school, college, like, very cool website. And he messaged me and said, you know, you seem to know a lot about the team. We're looking to have some coverage of Gotham.
Were they Sky Blue at the time? Or
it was 2020, so I think they had just rebranded.
Yeah.
And so they just rebranded, and so he's like, "We're looking to cover them. You seem to know a lot about the team. Do you have any writing experience?" And I do have some writing experience in my past, and I said, "All right, like,
yeah.
Why not? I'm watching these games. I'm thinking about these games anyway. I love women's soccer. I've been I played a little bit as a kid. I've been a huge fan of the national team." Got into the league after like the 2015 World Cup win. So I said, you know what, why not?
Okay.
And then it just snowballed. I think Gotham at the time, you know, especially like 2021, after the COVID era was a whole separate beast, but they were really lacking some consistent coverage at that time.
Yeah.
So I think I feel very fortunate that I was able to kind of come in at a time where this team was changing and rebranding and moving to Red Bull Arena, and I was able to just like be there every week and talk to the players and watch the games, and I just feel really fortunate that I was able to do this and am now sitting here with you.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I think it highlights the I think a lot of times people reach out to you and ask you questions like, how do I get into this business? Mm-hmm. How do I get into this industry? And there's a little bit of like the barrier of entry is not that incredibly high. I mean, there are gatekeepers here and there, mm-hmm. but for the most part, it's like if you really just start doing the work,
yes,
something could happen.
Absolutely,
I say this all the time. A lot of times people ask like, oh, how do I get started? I don't have a lot of followers and blah blah blah. But it's like if you just consistently participate in it for like, I don't know, maybe like 6 months. You may not have a ton of followers, but mm-hmm. maybe the followers that you do have are people that work in soccer already and appreciate your work and might give you an opportunity.
And that's what happened to me. And it was actually so funny because my wife, Adriana, who works in also NCBS, she had no idea I even had this Twitter account. She had no clue at all.
You had a secret account.
I know. She has Twitter, and like I had Twitter, but it just was like my first name, and I was just like saying silly stuff. And so I like finally told her about it. She was like, "Oh, why did she tell me this?" I was like, "I don't know. It was like my own little like pet project or something. I don't know." But she's obviously been incredibly supportive of me. But no, it's true. I started that account had like 50, 60 followers, just other fans of the game, and it was just I totally agree. I mean, if you're willing to put in the work, and you know, I won't lie, it's really tough. I was paid $0. I lost money because I had to pay to get to the game, park at the game, you know, all that kind of stuff. But if you're, you know, if you are interested in doing it and have the privilege of being able to put in the work, it's very possible. And it's really rewarding and it's really fun.
Totally. Yeah. So, this is let's get into this upcoming season, right? Obviously, the Challenge Cup is happening tomorrow. I think it is 8 p.m. start or something like that.
8 p.m. kickoff.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be like 8:07 kickoff. You know how they do. They always trick us to watch 7 minutes of pregame.
Well, I'll be at the game. So I'll be watching 7 minutes of my binoculars. Stalking who's there. Yeah.
No, it's an interesting year in, you know, not just, you know, this is the first iteration of this Challenge Cup, which is similar to the Community Shield that we, if you know,
Super
in England.
Copa
So the, you know, the champion plays the Supporter Shield champion.
Right.
And so it should lead to an interesting game.
Yes.
But this year in NWSL feels a little bit like we're on the precipice of something bigger, given that, like, you know, the Men's World Cup is happening in 2026. So obviously a lot of attention is going
to
be paid to
can't
soccer.
Can't wait for those Europeans to come to MetLife.
Okay, you're going to learn what New Jersey Transit is like. All right. Okay.
New Jersey Turnpike.
Going to be great. You know what? I'm sure there's going to be a video of somebody recreating the Sopranos intro from, like, Belgium. You know what I mean? Like, somebody going to do it.
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait. It's going to be...
They're going to do the Sex and the City tour.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody goes consume New York culture.
Friends. All that, yeah.
Okay.
There's no Central Perk. Spoiler alert.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they're going to be like, wow, there's way more black people here than there were on Friends.
Oh, yeah.
This is very different than what... This is not the New York I see on Netflix reruns of Friends. But not only that, the TV deals, for that split Amazon, ION, which I'm like, I got to learn what that is.
I know. They were like Scripps. I was like, what the hell is
Scripps?
So what is that?
So there's going to be a lot of places to watch NWSL. Yes. So this year feels a little bit different. And then the 2027 Women's World Cup could be here as well. We don't know where that... It's a shame that we don't know where it is yet.
Yes.
But the, Infantino and his suit hoodie will figure it all out. We're all good there. There's a lot to look forward to. When it comes to, we'll start with the Challenge Cup. And obviously, you are the Gotham FC expert. This year, this is a Miami Heat. You know, when LeBron went to the Heat, when the Celtics, you know.
Just like that.
The big three. You know what I mean? But this is like, women's soccer, this is like, oh, we built a super team, right?
Oh, yes.
So obviously the additions of Tina Davidson, Crystal Dunn, Rose Lavelle, so many other players already on a stacked team.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What is I think I'm easily favoring Gotham in this one, mainly because... of the U.S. Women's National... Emily Sana as well. I can't believe I forgot her name. But they just played in the Gold Cup. So they just have minutes. I think they will be in better form.
Yeah.
Over San Diego, even though obviously San Diego has a couple of U.S. Women's National team players as well. But looking forward to this Challenge Cup, what do you sort of expect from it? And not only just in the actual game, but just what it means to the future of the league.
Absolutely. And it's so funny. So I was a little late because I was on the press conference. And I totally I work from home, so I like miscalculated the amount. I was like, I could absolutely be on this press conference and then like get in. And there will be zero subway delays and everything will be hunky-dory. But it's so funny. Somebody asked Casey Stoney, the coach of San Diego Wave, kind of like a similar question about like the Challenge Cup. And it's like, oh, you're playing the championship team and you're the Shield winner. Like, is this like the battle for who's truly the best in the league? And she just goes, we're the best in the league.
There we go.
I was like, all right. I mean, they're a great team. I mean, they have Jaden Shaw, who just like killed it in Gold Cup. I think she won like MVP of the tournament.
Yeah, she had
the
Golden Ball.
Yep, that's right. Alex Morgan, who had a great showing in the Gold Cup as well. But Gotham, it's crazy. They have all four you just mentioned, plus Midge Purse, plus Lynn Williams, plus Jenna Neiswanger, plus Esther Gonzalez, who just won the World Cup with Spain, plus, you know, players that are just like NWSL league players who, you know, aren't on the national stage but are like killing it in the league. So I think it's so interesting now to see this like new iteration of the Challenge Cup. It was like first it was the bubble, then it was this like 50 million game tournament spread out across the league season, and now it's just like one game, which I actually think is really cool. I think it's a great way to kick off the season. It's going to be on like Amazon, which is like one of their new mm-hmm. partners. So I think this is just like another indication of the growth of the league. And I'm really excited to see these two teams in particular go head to head, because I do think right now, without seeing like what all the other teams are doing, you know, with the upcoming season, like these are probably the two best teams in the league right now.
Yeah.
And seeing them go head to head is going to be really exciting. I was like, ooh, should I make like a prediction?
Oh, yeah. Well, please.
Okay. I'm going to say, I like never do this, but I'm like feeling like frisky today. I'm going to say it's going to be 4-3 Gotham win. I think it's going to be a goal fest.
Interesting. Yeah. I think, you know, we have your Twitter bio up, your Twitter up, and then we have, obviously you have the... Neely Martin as the goalkeeper.
So funny.
when Mandy Hart got the red card. I was in San Diego for the final, and Mandy Hart got the red card. Neely Martin, was this her second time in goal?
For Gotham, yes. And she had done this in college a couple times.
Right.
So that's why they kept putting her in. And she's so funny. She was just like, yeah. I'll do it.
That's kind of one of my thoughts when it comes to goalkeeping. Mm-hmm. I mean, Caitlin Sheridan would have to be favored as the better goalkeeper for San Diego right now. I mean, given obviously just playing in the Gold Cup.
That's right.
And then we don't know who is going to start. Because Abby Smith, I believe, is injured.
She's injured right now. They had her listed as season-ending injury on the list they just put out. So we have Cassie Miller and Michelle Batos.
Yeah.
And I can see either one of them starting. I mean, mm-hmm. Cassie Miller is fantastic as well. Michelle Batos is a veteran in this league. Like, you know what you're getting with her. So I actually don't know. It really could be either.
It really could be either. So because of the uncertainty, that's where I would probably favor. So I don't expect that many goals, but I guess it's possible, right?
Given the main
thing is I'm hoping Gotham doesn't give up three. That's what
oh my gosh, I know. I mean,
I know they can score four.
I don't want them to give up three either. That's not like, I just think it's going to be like, the battle of the forwards here.
I mean,
you have Alex Morgan and Jaden Shaw, both of whom are competing for an Olympic spot.
Yeah.
Same thing at Gotham. I mean, you have Lynn, you have Midge, you have, even Rose and Emily.
It's going to be we'll get to more U.S. Women's National Team stuff because the Olympics are going to be a very difficult roster to select because there's going to be some very disappointed and I would even say angry players that may be left off. But what I love about the Challenge Cup is that we get another opportunity to see a WOSO trophy celebration because these are becoming some of my favorite moments in sports because they're different than men's sports trophy celebrations. They are more entertaining.
Oh my gosh.
The
locker room.
The locker rooms.
Oh man. It's like, I don't want to be in the locker room. You know what I mean? I just want to be as far away from there as possible.
Because the inaugural Challenge Cup, we got the Christy Mewis holding the Bud Lights.
I don't know why they don't just use that in every single one of their marketing materials. Like, it's literally so it's just like,
yeah, it's a great when the Dash won. And did she recreate it when Gotham won?
I
feel like she may have. I don't remember.
I think right now I'm just thinking of Alex Morgan, who had like 17 Michelob Ultras in the cup, and she was just on them. They were like, how many was in there? And she was like, 17.
So we get to you have one of those celebrations on tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow.
So we get to experience that. So that's it.
Will you be there?
I'm like, so my wife is away I just had a baby.
So you must play. Well, congratulations.
I had a baby. Yes. Thank you. So this will be the first weekend that she is away. And so basically it would be I'll have to put my son to bed.
Yes.
And then my mom will stay with the baby, and then I'll go to the game. So I'm like 90% sure.
Okay.
This is the
bring first. Mateo to the game. What do you mean?
As he's asleep.
I know. Put him in the trophy.
Can Simba him
be
like the
part
Lion
of
King.
The celebrations? I'm sure they'll throw him across the beer-soaked floor. As like that'd be a dope ass celebration.
Or the apple cider, Corbin Albert drinking the sparkling cider.
That was a good one. we also had the baby sipping the Truly in the stands.
Oh, that was amazing.
Truly baby,
the Truly baby.
People were like very mad about that.
Yeah, I could see. You know what? I can see why people would find it hilarious, and then like I can also see why people would be upset.
But clearly, this is a dad who's just like, just hold this, hold this.
It was clearly an empty bottle, but it's the optics of a baby holding, an alcoholic beverage.
We're gonna need a where are they now? In, like 10-15 years of Truly baby.
Because they're conservative folks out there that if they hear rap music somewhere, they're like, this neighborhood is going to shit or whatever.
There's too many babies with Truly.
They see that and they're like, we can't have these babies with empty Truly cans. They might inhale some alcohol. from the empty can. So I'm excited about that. So yeah, Gotham and San Diego are playing in the Challenge Cup. It should be very entertaining. I will do my best to be. I'm pretty sure I will be there. But if you see me, say hello with your binoculars.
Oh, that's right. I will. Flare guns.
So we just talked about the Challenge Cup that's happening on Friday, but let's do a little bit more general NWSL preview. Jenna, what do you think are going to be some like the big storylines for the league this season? Who do you think are some other, you know, maybe some sleeper teams that could compete for the title? What are you thinking about the season so far?
Yeah, I mean, another season with another season with two expansion teams. So I think that's going to be really interesting. Bay FC and the Utah Royals. Bay FC has put together a really strong roster, mm-hmm. and I'm really, really excited to see what they look like coming out. Utah, I'm also, you know, really interested in seeing. They have former player and NWSL icon, Amy Rodriguez.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, as a coach.
Amy has done our show before. Definitely... Especially the team from 2015 that won the World Cup and just a revered, just special player. I'll be a huge fan of her.
Yes.
So when we got to talk to her, that was like super, super cool. And so exciting to see.
Yes.
And a person that is like, yeah, you should be a coach.
Oh, for sure. 100%. For sure. And it's really cool that we're seeing like more of that. Like Bev Yanez, former player, coaching Louisville. I think it's just so amazing that like to see that. Because I think Louisville also is going to be like a completely different team now. You know, they had a lot of movement this offseason, especially with the expansion draft. They lost Paige Monahan, who is now the captain of the Utah Royals, was just named today, which is really cool.
Congrats to her.
So I think Louisville is going to look totally different than what we've seen them come out to be in the past. I think they could actually really be a sleeper team as well. Obviously we've got Kansas City. I think that they are now opening the first ever women's-specific soccer stadium in the world, and I think there's going to just be a lot of like drive and motivation on that team to like really show out, because that's going to be showcase. I mean, that's like the opening game of the season. So I think that technically Challenge Cup is like not the season. So I think they could be one to watch as well.
There was a I don't know if you saw this tweet, and apologies because I can't remember who it was, but somebody tweeted like some interaction that they had online because they were talking about the Kansas City Current Stadium.
Yeah.
And then somebody responded like, wow, they do this for a women's team. I can't wait till Kansas City gets a men's team. It's such a like, you don't even care. You don't care at all. You just want to like shit on women. Like it's such a ridiculous thing.
I know. It's so funny because it's like, so I have like very specific like words muted on Twitter.
Okay.
One of them is Dallas U15.
Oh yeah. Okay. This is
the other
this
one
is good because you have to cleanse.
Oh my gosh.
This from your life because you've heard it enough.
Yep. The other one is Dalai Lama. If you remember the whole thing that he like did.
Oh yes.
I couldn't see it. I had to mute it.
Yes. Okay. That's a gross one.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh God, I had to mute that. And now the one I just added is in bio.
yep.
Just
I know.
Totally
what
muted with the spacing.
I
and
know
everything.
What you mean.
Just,
Twitter has become a very strange. The comment section of every Twitter post has become a nightmare. I don't know why Elon thinks he's doing anything positive for this platform. But yes, that is hilarious.
Anything in bio? Bots. I don't want to see it. Totally muted.
Shout out to the porn bots for all of our, what's it called? All of our engagement.
Hey, yo,
on
we
Twitter.
Love engagement, bro.
We'll take it from anyone.
Let's go. Okay. We tell all the advertisers, everybody's really, you know, engaging with our content. Okay. Regardless of how, even though the post is a blurry image that has to be unblurred to see it. Anyway, we're all going through it. It's a nightmare. Please fix it. It's an interesting space. I want to talk to you about. I mean, obviously, one of the owners of Gotham FC. Obviously, Carly Lloyd is a divisive figure and it's such a strange thing because it's not like. It's not like upsetting in a deeply political or like sort of sense
when you're like a hating FedEx delivery driver.
Yeah, it's like kind of like I don't know why I'm annoyed, yeah. but I'm like kind of annoyed. And it's a fascinating thing to have a obviously a former player, a legendary player, be a little bit like it's almost like I think that her mentality and perspective is like, I'm going to show a little bit of tough love to everybody coming after me because that's sort of what I maybe I dealt with and that's what made me as an individual a better player. And I want the players to be good. So I'm not going to coddle them.
Right.
And I think for the state of women's soccer and just soccer in general, there's a little bit of we're in a generation that's probably a little bit more sensitive. And I think sensitive in like we care about their feelings a little bit more. Right. Not like sensitive like woke.
He's like, or whatever. Snowflake.
Sensitive like morally, we're like, you know, I'm not trying to just bash players.
Right, of course. Yeah,
So I think we're in this transition of like, how do we get that dog in them the way Carly has, and then also care about not just, you know, putting sort of players down or being unreasonably harsh. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And every time she says something, like, I always have to remind myself, like, that's, like, directly coming from her experience.
Yeah.
And I might not agree. Some of her former teammates might not agree.
Sure.
But I do think, you know, there's no question that she is a legendary player who had tremendous success. And I saw a tweet years ago that was just like, one day Carly Lloyd's going to have a rest stop on the Jersey Turnpike named after her. And I was like, you know what? Like, yeah. Like, she is a Jersey legend, and that's what Jersey legends get.
Wow. Exit 17. We love
Carly Lloyd exit.
Carly Lloyd, rest stop, like Chick-fil-A.
There's a six subway.
You know what? And there's no bathrooms at this rest stop. Okay? You will not
get. You gotta hold it in, tough it up.
Okay? We're making tough drivers in New Jersey. Yeah,
that's right. That's because you gotta learn how to make those left turns. So, but it is really interesting. And I think she, you know, I've heard very positive things about her from former coaches, former teammates, former players. I mean, she's a competitor.
Yeah.
But I do think, like, it's okay that we can, like, grow and evolve. And, like, you can have that dog in you in, like, a different way.
I'm just a smaller dog. Yeah. You know, a much more.
Okay, small dogs are, like, legit, though. They're crazy.
They're super cute. And they have some bark in
them. I'm more scared of small dogs than I am of big dogs. Right, 100%. Right.
Okay, like, I have a golden doodle. You know, anybody tries to enter my home, my dog will immediately rush them and lick them in their face and kill them with kindness. Yeah. Okay, maybe that's the kind of dogs we need.
I mean, I'm a cat person, but, like, sure. My cats come home and they're like, oh, you're back.
Okay. I thought I had to place it myself for a little while.
Well, Adriana comes home and they're like, oh, you're back. And I'm like, okay, I'm the spare.
Okay, they've chosen sides.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's talk. So you also mentioned NWSL. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you mentioned the two expansion teams. We had a question from a Gully Squad, which is our Patreon. And Ian, who is from Utah, and he asks questions about Utah Royals. He has a couple of them. He says, how much trouble are the Royals in this season? So he's a little bit more pessimistic than you might be. He mentions an inexperienced coaching staff, a lot of inexperienced players. Can they hang with the Gothams and San Diegos of the league?
It's a great question. It's one I've really been wondering myself. And, you know, they do have some experienced players on there, Amani Dorsey, Ifeanyi Amanu, came from Gotham.
Yeah.
Allie Long is randomly like a trialist over there. I'm like, sign her. because actually I think she would be a great addition.
Without
a veteran presence, a World Cup winner, a passing queen, a set piece.
I mean, when you want possession of a ball,
that's
you,
the girl.
You reach out to Allie Long because she will never lose the ball. She will always maintain possession.
I love her stories about like playing futsal all that. Like you can see it when she plays. It's actually like really fun to watch.
Yes.
And also like just unrelated, but her story about like coming back after having twins, like crazy. Like, she's just like a beast.
Yeah, she was saying she did our show a couple years ago, and she mentioned that when she plays futsal, she would play with like just like Hispanic community, and they would call it like la rubia, which is like the blonde, whatever. So she's playing with men. That's how you get a nickname. When you get a nickname, you made it. Yeah. Okay, that means they respect your game.
Absolutely.
You know, when I'm playing, they call me by my full name. All right,
you got a full government name.
Full government name. They do not respect my ability on the pitch. I'm like, damn, bro. Are you looking at my ID? How'd you get my confirmation name? You really know me too well. So yeah, I agree. Yes. So I think Utah. I mean, with most expansion teams, you usually there's like an instinctive worry of like, they don't know the league. They don't know each other.
Yeah, for sure. And I think just being an expansion team is really, really hard. I mean, Orlando, Louisville, those teams like really struggled.
Yeah.
Angel City has had some mixed results. I mean, I think they did last year was like crazy turnaround to even get into the playoffs with Becky Tweed as now their full head coach, who also used to be Gotham assistant coach. All comes back to Gotham.
Yeah.
San Diego is an example of a team that I think is like an outlier, but they had so much experience, talent. Casey Stoney is your coach and all that. And yeah, I mean, I think Utah, it's going to be really tough. Amy's amazing. She's an amazing player, and I think she has what it takes, but it's going to be tough. You have a young team, young coaching staff. It could be a very transitional year for them.
Sure. And Utah has an interesting storyline because they were there
they
for
were
a long
there,
time
and there.
Then they moved to Kansas City and Kansas City got a team back,
right?
And now they brought back Utah in the different form. So when it comes to like the fan support, that will already be there.
Yes.
It's almost like everything else that has to kind of start from the
what's
ground
on
up.
The field is going to be tough, but this league is so crazy and so competitive. Like, any team on any day could be any team.
Yeah, like, which is where we saw the comments from, like, from Esther when she was saying, like, playing an NWSL is like playing Champions League every week. Yeah.
People have different opinions on that comment. We don't need to get into that.
I don't know how much.
But it is highly competitive. Like,
I agree.
I think that was her point. Like, it's just highly competitive.
I do also think, like, watching, you know, thanks to, like, CBS and Paramount Plus, I get to watch some of the other women's leagues and the Zone. And so that's been awesome. And you can watch on YouTube the Women's Champions League and stuff like that. But then week to week, there's almost like a weird bias I may have just by watching so much NWSL is that you see kind of great quality, or at the very least, you don't necessarily see a lot of blowouts. You don't see too many like high scoring games, unlike in Women's Super League, where like a top team can really, really dominate a team lower in the table. So in if you're watching in the Women's Super League in England, you're like, oh, Arsenal,
Chelsea,
they're really good because look how much they're dominating these teams.
Exactly.
And in NWSL, you don't really see any team dominate any other one.
Even like the Chicago Red Stars, who finished last, like not every loss was a blowout.
Exactly.
Some of them were just like one goal, two goals, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, absolutely. Like the bottom team can run with the top team.
Yeah. So it's a like people always have the conversations of comparing like promotion relegation in the U.S. and should we have that? And then, but
should we have that? No, okay.
I'm fine talking about it. I mean, in general, it can be a conversation even within NWSL. Like, should NWSL have a promotion relegation as opposed to what we're, you know, the USL Super League that is starting, right? And it's like, is that a concern of like, you know, I know there's not enough spots in NWSL for every a potential professional player that wants to play. So this could be a good option. But having two first divisions seems like a mistake. I mean, in my mind, I could be 100% wrong.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah,
it's weird. I guess I'm like, I'm reserving
judgment. Yeah, right.
It's just so interesting. Like, when, you know, at least I can't speak for like MLS or anything like that, but NWSL is like too new. We don't have the infrastructure yet to do like a relegation type thing here yet. But yeah, this came up actually at the press conference today with Jessica Berman about the Super League. It was very like non-answer, like, we'll see.
Okay,
I think everybody really is like, we'll see. Like, what is this going to be like? Like, what are these teams? What are their resources? What are they going to look like? What kind of players are they going to
get? Stadium, where are they going to play?
Where are they going to play? Yeah, like, yeah. Brooklyn FC, I think, is playing, like, in Coney Island baseball, that baseball field. Yeah, or something like that. So it's, yeah, I think everyone is just kind of like, we'll okay, see what, what's going to happen.
Yeah, because it'd be weird if Jessica Byrne was like, we're going to crush them. Oh, we will not let them compete.
I don't know, I'd be like, respect.
Damn, be Jessica, like, get I know. just salivating, just waiting to destroy any competitor. no, because, yeah, there has to be a future of the league and the sport, and then women's soccer has its own challenges,
right?
That they have to face.
So it's still growing. It's still growing. Yeah.
So we all have to figure out, like, you know, just like MLS having these issues with US Open Cup, and we all have to kind of collectively decide, like, what is the best.
So upsetting. Yeah. I love that cup, but
it's a strange thing. I think it, you know, it's the balance of, like, you know, even in women's sports, the sports have to make money. They have to be viable. Yeah. We can't just be throwing money into something without plans of, like, how Absolutely. To recoup it and yeah. stuff like that. So I try to understand both sides, but, like, as the emotional side of the fan in me is like, no, we need to have these. We need to have the bottom of what the pyramid looks like
yep.
to be. People should still be interested in it. Even if yes. they don't have an MLS team in their city, there should be people interested in soccer, and there should be an outlet for them. So, yeah, look, the NWSL season starts this weekend. Before we end this segment, I just want to – we started talking about the Utah Royals, and we have to address – The tweet of all tweets.
The tweet, okay. of all tweets.
So if you're like me and one of the, you know, Kate Middleton conspiracy theory girlies, because I've been consuming it on TikTok.
Oh, for
I cannot even begin to think they're trying to ban TikTok and then will not let me get access to the Kate Middleton conspiracy theories.
I know. Although I did delete TikTok on my phone recently because I was, like, too addicted.
It is. I did.
I'm not on TikTok. I hate it. But I get enough on Instagram and Twitter. So yeah, we're good. I'm in.
There's enough people doing the good work and yes. sharing the content from TikTok yes. to your other
the
platforms.
Good work. Yes.
Okay. So thank you for all the people aggregating
yes,
content
I
that isn't yours.
You.
And putting it in front of Jenna's eyes because otherwise she'd miss it. But Utah Royals, so if obviously people haven't been paying attention to the Kate Middleton, we don't know where she is. They're editing photos of her to make her seem like, you know, like proof of life. It's getting scary. I don't know what's going on. But the Utah Royals, because given the royal in the name, they decided to get in on the joke. And this is, look, As a comedy show, we got to talk about it because Utah Royals, they put out a statement that looks mad serious, okay? This is how you have to read this statement. You have to hear with this sound first. A statement from Utah Royals FC, and it says, quote, "The royal family has been made aware of the news following the sudden disappearance of one of its members. The official statement from the Crown is that despite reports, the member of the royal family is well and accounted for. For those wishing to see this quote-unquote missing member of the royal family, Kate will be present on the 16th of March at 5:30 p.m. at America First Field in Sandy, Utah." And they are referring to the player on Utah Royals. Yes. Is it Kate?
Kate Delfava.
Kate Delfava. And they're like, we got a player named Kate. Yep. Let's do a whole joke where people might be concerned that Kate Delfava is...
It's a good bit. It's a good bit. I'm not going to lie.
It's a fairly decent bit. But look, as a comedy writer, the joke took too long
I mean, because as a journalist, I'm like...
What? and the text it looks like a professional statement of import,
I mean,
and concern.
The font choice and the fact that there's no time zone in the time of the game. I was, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Kind of lost me. Kind of lost me there.
You know, we're sticklers. We need to.
I'm like, what time zone are you in, Utah? Asking for a friend. Okay. What is mountain time?
So this is a tweet that is has upset a fair amount of people because
rightly so.
It does feel. It also feels a little bit like you know, using Kate Del Fava in the joke. I don't know how much...
If she's in on it.
In on it, yeah. Or, like, cool with it.
Yeah.
As a comic, I'm not judging, like, you shouldn't have made this joke. As a comic, I'm always like, I see what you were going for.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's so funny, because I said to someone, I was like, look, if they had tweeted something like, come see our Royal Kate at 5:30 p.m.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That, okay, cute. Well, you know, fine, you're getting in on the joke. But, like, the whole, like... formal statement, because truly I read the first sentence and I was like, where's Paige Monahan? I'm like, where's Imani Dorsey? Where are they?
It feels mad serious. It feels like an April Fool's joke.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
And if it was April Fool's, I mean, there's a little bit of
okay,
like,
honestly, if they could have waited, but I guess they didn't like know how long they had.
Look, maybe it's in slight poor taste, but like, I see what you were trying. It's April Fool's.
I love you have the tweet up and the one of the first GIF underneath it is like the Britney Spears like.
So I applaud the effort. That's what I will say. I'm like,
I see what you were trying to do.
And because this is a thing in NWSL from the social media admin perspective of like, this is why I appreciate it. People take risks.
Oh.
They take chances. We saw, remember the Gotham schedule announcement?
Yeah.
We talked about it a little bit.
Rip.
it had to be deleted. Somebody upset with it. But as you know, somebody who comments on the culture around the game.
Right.
This is great. I love that they're trying and they're not always going to get it right. And it's like, this is the main thing. If something actually happens to Kate Middleton, like it's something serious,
right?
This is not great, and that's
right.
Why you don't. We didn't really participate in it because it's like we could definitely come up with some jokes,
yes.
But then it's like, what if something actually does?
That's the only thing. It's like, okay, like haha. So, but like, is she okay?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So Utah Rose better get on board and finding Kate Middleton. And
I know. Sure. I think they need. Well, it's so funny because I was talking to some other friends who were like, okay, like, does this get deleted within an hour, after an hour? And it's been
days. Yeah.
So you know,
standing on business. We're not deleting this, no matter what.
They are. They are. And as somebody who is committed to the bit,
yeah,
they are committed to the bit. And okay, but now I think they need to like really get their sleuths out there to find Kate Middleton.
Okay, that's it. Get on board. Help out the royal family.
Yeah, they need help with Photoshop.
All right, we're just breaking in real quick with a DraftKings update. We got to talk about the FA Cup happening this weekend, the FA Cup quarterfinals. And we got to give a little Cooligan's parlay to get people hype about this upcoming weekend and the slate of matches. So we're going to build a little parlay with the homie Miguelito sitting at the desk
big
for
table,
the first
time. Yeah, time at the big desk today.
In front of the camera.
A lot of anxiety coming. Normally my computer camera at home is not as nice as this
people,
one. So.
People are like, is this Miguelito himself? They're like, is are we sure it's Miguelito, what, from Ireland?
exactly, yeah.
Strong Latino contingent.
I'm sure a lot of people are very confused right now if this is the first time they've seen me. They're like, oh, that's Miguelito?
So let's build this parlay together. So we know the matches that are coming up this weekend. It is going to be Manchester United against Liverpool, Wolves against Coventry City, Man City against Newcastle, and Chelsea against Leicester. Your Chelsea.
Yes, my Chelsea.
Against
unfortunately.
Leicester.
Well, they won last week. So
they won last week. Mudryk, bro.
Bro, that was a great finish. Can you believe
see,
that?
See?
When he went around the goalie, I honestly thought, oh, he's going to blast this into the third row. But luckily,
no, Mo, that was clean.
Kept
that was
it on frame.
Confident. That was great. Dribbling through all those people.
Yeah.
All right. So let's build this together. We have a, we're going to start with Manchester United, Liverpool.
Yep.
We're going to go with the money line for Liverpool. Because
yeah,
Liverpool,
I think that's the best bet for this game.
Liverpool should win this game. I don't know if it's necessarily going to be easy, but Liverpool
this game's at Anfield, right? So that gives them automatically.
This game,
am I wrong?
No. This game is not at Anfield.
It's
this
at,
game
Old
is
Trafford.
At Old Trafford.
Okay.
But still, I mean, we remember the
7-0.
Yep. I mean, it hasn't been great for for Manchester United facing Liverpool in recent years. So we got to favor them right now.
Even with the kids, I'll take Liverpool versus Manchester United.
Totally fair. Okay, next up. We're going to go Wolves against Coventry.
Yeah.
And in this game, both teams are going to score here, right?
That's we're going Wolves money.
Oh, okay. That's it. So Wolves. All right. So we're favoring Wolves. Coventry, obviously, in the championship.
Yes.
Right? Championship. Yep. And so Wolves should comfortably win this game.
I think so. I mean, look, I haven't watched too much of Wolves this season, to be honest. But yeah, at this point, you're kind of thinking, it's really a value play that I like for this leg of the parlay, -155
mm-hmm.
for a Premier League team against a championship team, like on the money line. I would take that pretty much anytime.
Exactly. And together, obviously, a single bet by itself, probably not a big win, value, but in a parlay,
100%.
I think this is a good bet. So, all right. So we're going Wolves money line. And then next up,
this is the one we're doing both teams to
score.
That's
right. Your Chelsea against Leicester. And so, which is interesting because Leicester are in the championship, but they, I believe, are in second or first? Or
I think they're in second place right now. Leeds was in first last time I checked.
Because it's also Ipswich, it's Leicester and Leeds that are kind of the ones that have been pretty dominant.
Oh, Leicester's in first right now. So Leicester's 82, Leeds 79 points. But
okay.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think Leicester, if they were in the Premier League this season, they probably could do pretty well. Like, I don't think they would be the worst team in the Premier League if they were up this season. So, yeah, I'm not super confident that Chelsea will get the win, especially considering, like, a lot of the other games they've played this season.
How
they looked against Leeds. They almost didn't beat Leeds in the last round of the FA Cup. And Chelsea's defense has been leaky all season. So, yeah, I like both teams to score. I think, again, you get pretty good value at -145, especially for a parlay leg. And, yeah, I say this three-legger is looking pretty good right now.
This feels good. Okay, so we got the full parlay right here.
Yes.
It ends up being the three-leg parlay ends up being +409.
Yeah, so you can quadruple your money. Let's say you put $100, you're winning $409 on this one.
So it feels this feels like a good I feel like the Cooligans got your best interest in mind.
Yeah,
and
100%.
And your wallet in mind.
And your wallet, exactly. Yeah. That's really what we're doing here.
Because even a Chelsea fan is like, I don't think we're gonna dominate.
I can't just blindly take Chelsea moneyline, Christian. After this season, you can't bet on anything 100%.
So head over to DraftKings, the app, DraftKings.com, and
we're gonna try to get this put up as a pre-made parlay. So definitely check
in. Yeah, so it might already be on the app.
If you're listening to this,
go check that out.
Yeah,
all right,
check in again before Saturday, real quick. It'll be up there.
That's it. Download the DraftKings app and get on board with the Cooligans parlay.
So turning our attention from some club soccer that's happening in the United States right now to the U.S. Women's National Team. It's going to be a big year for the U.S. Women's National Team. Got a new manager, got a lot of new players coming in after a disappointing World Cup last year. You know, Jenna, what are you making of the team? How do you think they're going to fare? Well, they just won the Women's Gold Cup. We should mention that.
Yeah.
So
they did just
win
a big trophy.
They did. Vamos, vamos, vamos. No, I love that song. My wife was over there for CBS, and she brought me back, like, all these, like, little key change of, like, the Gold Cup.
Yeah,
I have one in my backpack over there, actually. I think that win was so important for this team because, it has not been pretty. It's so funny because, like, everyone's always trying to, like, diagnose the problem. Like, where did it start? What's the issue? Was it coaching? Was it the pipeline? Blah, blah, blah. I think it's, like, to me, I'm, like, not bored of that, but it's, like, okay, like, there's problems. Like, we need to stop, like, going back and thinking, like, oh, what went wrong? And now entering this phase where we're, like, let's fix it.
Yeah.
And I think we saw a lot of that happening in the Gold Cup. It's obviously, like, a super weird time where Emma Hayes is going to come in, but Twyla Kilgore is the interim, but, like, we all know Emma Hayes is, on FaceTime during these games.
Exactly.
At, like 3 in the morning in London, like, screaming at FaceTime. So I think that win was really important. It wasn't the prettiest win.
Mm-hmm.
They had some bright moments. They had some real stinkers, like that Mexico game. But I think we're starting to see what I always thought was really important, which was getting the fresh faces into the team. Because I think that there was too long of a gap between the 2019 World Cup win, going into the Olympics. I think COVID was a big part of this, and integrating new young talent into the team in a way that made sense, in ways that was very natural in 2015 and 2019, and just didn't happen. We just kept seeing, like, the same players who are still great and still playing at a high level, but that's not how you have, like, longevity for the team. So that's always kind of been, like, my diagnosis of the problem. Also, like, Emma Hayes could not be more different from Vlatko Andonovski in like every single way possible. So I think this was a good win, but clearly there's still things that they need to work on if they want to bring home the gold in the Olympics.
Yeah, and that's the I feel like there's something in the last Olympics there was a just a difference. I don't know if in tone or I don't know not necessarily style of play, but like. From the 2019 World Cup to the Olympics, they just didn't look like the same exact
team.
I think we've the last two World Cup side the before the last one, the previous two World Cup wins were sort of we got spoiled. We got spoiled with like what the team looks like, how the team plays,
yes.
and just a very, very high expectation.
Yes.
And even a thing where it's like, why are any teams giving us trouble? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
it's hard for people to understand. And I think it's like 2015, and for me more so 2019, like, that is a team we will never see again. Like, that level of team is, like, a legendary team that, like, we will look back on and be like, holy crap. Like, what was that, like, super team? And I think Ali Krieger had said, like, we have the first and second best team at the World Cup because of our starters and bench players. And I think that was true. I think she was totally right. Like, that was just unworldly. That plus the fact that the rest of the world is catching up. They're investing in their programs. A lot of that is because of the success of the U.S. Women's National Team, setting the stage for that. But there still is like a level of excellence in winning that the U.S. expects, the fans expect, but the team expects from themselves as well. So I know they're not happy with some of their results lately and all that. And so they're ready to.
Yeah, I wanted to just point this out because and shout out to Adam Bells of the Scuffed podcast. And there was a great clip that we had retweeted where he was analyzing the Gold Cup win and just a particular moment when he was just highlighting the fact that the players weren't. Not only were they, like, it looked a little bit uncoordinated, but the fact that the players weren't showing for passes. And and there's a particular moment that he is talking about. And I'll play the clip from that right now. Here goes.
Go back and watch that clip. Alex Morgan is standing on the edge of the 18, slowly backing away. Lindsey Horan's not even, Lindsey Horan is in the screen, but not moving towards Lavelle at all. Corbin Albert is not really moving into a window to pass to her either. So Lavelle just gives it away. I mean, that's what happens. And Lavelle ends up looking really bad. And I think Lavelle had a bad game, but she had nobody to pass to
for a long time.
All right. So that's basically it. I mean, and we saw, if you're watching on YouTube, you saw the specific moment, but this is something that it's not necessarily a coaching issue. It's not, I guess it could be.
It
could be a decision of like, hey, don't go towards the ball. Rely, maybe the midfielders will figure it out on their own. But it's just when you see stuff like this, it makes you question like, well, is the effort really there from everyone? I mean, watching Alex Morgan not see three players around Rose and not go towards to help out and Lindsay. Yeah, and there is also like, Laurel's a beast and really gets by.
I know, that's what that's literally like, we're talking about this and I Alex and Lindsay are probably like, she's got it. She's
you're going to need it. Four more defenders if you really want to give her trouble.
I bet they're like, they're just like, she's got it. We've seen her do better, like more than that.
Right. So it's interesting the because effort has really never ever been questioned when it comes to anybody who plays for the U.S. Women's National Team. So seeing moments like that, and the game against Mexico, there are problems, but they also took two unbelievable goals from Mexico.
Unbelievable. So it's their team is great. Like, and I don't want to ever like make it seem like the U.S. should have steamrolled them. I was always worried about that game.
Right.
That was the game I was most worried about. For them.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm Dominican, so that was the game I was most worried about. Yeah. The Dominican Republic. Please just don't destroy us.
I know a lot of those girls on the Dominican Republic team because they played for Queensborough in the USLW a couple years ago. Yeah,
That's
so cool.
It's
a good team.
Yeah,
they're a good group.
That's kind of a thing where seeing them. I think with the level of quality in the Gold Cup is very different than the World Cup.
Yes.
I think in the Gold Cup they can get away with a couple more mistakes. Even Brazil didn't have their best game in that final.
No, they really didn't.
Gave away the ball a lot. put themselves in like really dangerous positions where the U.S. could score. Brazil were lucky that it was only a 1-0 victory. Mm-hmm. But this is what Emma Hayes, I'm hoping,
will come in
and fix, because seeing stuff like this is just, it doesn't get me super excited about the future of that thing when you see moments like that.
The thing I will say is for everybody on that U.S. women's national team, except for Lindsay and Corbin, they're all in preseason still.
Yeah.
So I think that was something that I was really thinking about when I was watching stuff like that. I'm like, they're preseason. They had 1 week, 1.5 weeks of preseason with their NWSL teams, and then they went straight into this Gold Cup. So that was something, you know, when I see stuff like that, which is so uncharacteristic of them, like you have to think, like, you know, is this something that needs to be, the coach needs to come in and be like, no, don't do that.
You're right.
Go help her. Or is it just something like they're like still kind of getting back into form and all that, and, you know, especially playing teams that are in season. So, you know, that I think is something to consider. But no, I think you're absolutely right. You know, when they go to the Olympics, like, they're not going to be playing the Dominican Republic. They're going to be playing not England.
what country is that?
but they're going to be playing the top of the top. So it's coming up.
And it's a fairly small roster, the Olympic roster.
It's a smaller roster. It's 18.
Which should be more.
It really should.
It's just like kind of wild.
It's like, you know, there was a lot of conversations in the press conference earlier today about or yesterday. When does this come out? I don't know.
Tonight.
about player safety. And just the fact that, like, players are playing so many games, and now there's, like, CONCACAF is doing, like, maybe, like, a club World Cup type thing.
Right.
They just did this Gold Cup, and, you know, NWSL, Challenge Cup, all this. And so player safety is always so top of mind. And so just to me, like, an 18-player roster is a player safety issue.
I agree.
To me, it's insane that they haven't expanded this.
It feels too much like, you know, before, in like the 70s, before soccer added subs. You know what I mean? Like, it was just 11, and if somebody got hurt, you just played down.
Well, I'm glad we moved up from 3 to 5.
I know, right?
Like, I think that's been a great...
I was initially against it.
And I get why, because it's like, if you have a deeper bench, you automatically have advantage in that type of situation. But also just purely from a player safety standpoint, and concussion subs, like...
We absolutely need to have those.
Yeah, so I think, you know, hopefully one day the 18-player will...
Sure.
Expand to 23, but then it's not.
I'm good with 5 subs for everybody but Manchester City. as long as it's not them.
I'm an Inter Milan fan, so we're still mad about
that. Okay, I get it. That's fair. A couple other questions from Gully Squad. Again, patreon.com/soccercooligans. You want to ask questions to our guests. I'll just go through. Oh, this is great. This is from Lura McCoy. She asked a question. What is the go-to coffee order when Gotham FC gets paper plane food truck at practices?
I mean, I have sadly not been at a practice where paper plane has been there.
Shout out
paper plane.
Yeah.
Love them. Love John over there. He is a legend. Coffee's so good. They have like such crazy amazing drinks. Like, you can get like crazy. Have you ever been over there, Montclair?
I've been to Montclair, but I haven't been.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. They have like, there's this like one drink that has like Yoo-hoo in it. Like, ooh. Yeah, it's like, it's insane.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. So he's so great. So like, so if you follow me, you know, I love candy corn.
I've seen this. I am not a candy corn fan.
You either love it or you hate it. There's really no in between. So one day he was like, oh, I found, just John a paper plane, I found candy corn syrup.
Ooh.
Come. I won't be there that day, but come and just say, like, you're Jenna Tinelli for the candy corn latte.
Yeah.
And they made me a candy corn latte.
That's fire.
It was okay.
Maybe it doesn't go great with everything.
It was okay. Very sweet. But my go-to order is just like a basic latte, almond milk latte, 2 shots. Or just like an iced coffee with like some oat milk or something like that. Yeah, always cold.
All right, I'm not a coffee guy.
I like a matcha too.
Matcha.
I love a matcha latte.
My wife is a nutritionist and she loves matcha. Makes matcha every day.
I get one after this.
Okay, cool. I got matcha all the time. All right, so cool. I'll order that when I go to Paper Plane. Justin Friedberg asked a question. Our joke about Gotham basically signing all the best players.
Yeah.
We call them the Galacticos.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Okay. Yep.
So he asked a question. Are the Galacticos the favorites to repeat as NWSL champs this season? You think they can do it?
I mean, yeah. I think they could absolutely do it. Will they do it? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a very different team. I think, you know, it's so interesting to see the team that won the championship last year. I mean, they were still pretty stacked.
Mm-hmm.
Lynn, Midge, Esther. I think that what I saw from that team was, like, something that was, like, so intangible that, like, really got, like, every team in the NWSL has talent. Every team has a good roster. You know, some obviously are, you know, now we have the Galacticos.
Yeah.
like, I mean, they should be, like, winning every game. Like, that's the expectation.
And the expectation is much higher. And then also, and their coach is also
a great coach, great mind, great team he puts around him, fantastic. But it's a different team this year.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be interested to see, like, can they take this super team and actually have that same, I think, like, soul that got them to the championship last year.
And obviously not having after Ali Krieger retired.
Yes. She was a big part of that.
She was a huge part of the motivation around the team.
Yes.
And obviously her life was going through all these sort of just kind of terrible things, but it brought the team together.
And her last season, her retirement, she had never won an NWSL trophy before. And it was so funny because on the broadcast, I don't know if you saw, there was a moment where she was up at the desk for CBS and Jenna Neiswanger and Midge Purse like came over and attacked her and like hugged her and I tweeted about that because I was like, to me, like, that's why Gotham won the championship. Yes, they had the coaching. Yes, they had the talent. Yes, they had the roster and all that, but they had like something that you can't manufacture.
I
think that, and in conversations that I've had, like with Yael, the GM of Gotham, like she says, like, oh, we finished in sixth place last year. Like, people forget we finished in sixth place.
It was close, yeah.
And had they let in one more goal or had Orlando scored a couple more goals, like, they would have been out.
Right.
So she's like, that's not acceptable for this next iteration. Like, we need to be winning the Shield.
Exactly.
You know? So that's our expectation. And they can do it. Absolutely.
I think so. And then, just seeing the growth of Jenna Neiswanger.
Oh, my gosh.
And
Neiswanger Nation.
And you know, she's, as a rookie and taking penalties.
Yes.
And you know, obviously scored a penalty for the U.S. Women's National Team. The confidence seems is there. And it just seems like the void of the leadership that Ali Krieger brought, like, I don't know exactly who it's going to be that's going to be that person.
I think
person.
It's
going to
be, like, Crystal Dunn, Kelly O'Hara. I see they were the two on the press conference today, and I do see those are, like, two.
On it as well. Like, nah, I don't see her, like, taking any crap from anybody.
It's funny because, I do think there's, like, a lot of leaders on this team that are – They lead a little bit differently. Like, they might not be the ones in front of the camera, but they are leading behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And they still have, like, a ton of other veteran players on there. McCall Zerboni is still on that team, who is, like, coming back from an ACL in, like, 2 seconds. Like,
yeah,
it's, like, the craziest recovery I've ever seen. Kristen Edmonds. Like, there are some, like, long-standing NWSL players on that team who also, like, bring that. So, I'm just very interested to see not only how it goes on the pitch, but off the pitch.
I met McCall at Ali Krieger's retirement party, and I got to talk to her. She was super nice, and she had heard of us. But then one of the strange and, like, just cool moments was in San Diego, Yasmeen Ryan, her brother came up to me, and he was like, hey, man, I love your show. You spoke about my sister once. I was, like, super cool.
I think he's from around here.
Okay, I think
he lives around here, yeah.
So it's just, like, things like that where we mentioned earlier, like, you don't know who listens. You don't know who follows.
It's
you
true.
Don't know who's reading. And
it's
then it's
true.
Like, Yasmeen's brother is, like, a fan of the show.
Yasmeen Ryan is also, like, an incredible player. And she's so young.
And one with Portland, right? I
think she's actually 23. So she has, like, just
like,
so...
Like you are actually
like
23.
So it's just, like, she's... There's other players on that team, like Neely Martin, Bruninha, the Brazilian, who I think, like, the sky is the limit for them. So it's, like, what I see happening with Gotham, which I haven't seen in the past, is not only do they have these, like, veteran players who are middle towards end of their career, but they have young players that they're developing. And, you know, Macy Bell, their rookie that they drafted, was, like, a standout defender, I think, at UNC.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're also setting the stage for, like, that continued growth for the future. So I think they're doing all the right things.
Agreed. Emily Gerdes asked the question, what is your favorite non-Gotham offseason signing? Anybody comes to mind? I mean, there's been a couple of them. If you want to take a second to think about it, feel free to do that. I have another question.
Let's
do this last question.
Okay, cool. Abe asked a question. He says, what do you think the reason is to why Crystal Dunn can't crack the U.S. Women's National Team midfield, even though she's one of the best attacking mids this country has ever produced? It's a big question.
I feel like that's all I can do is sigh. Yeah. It's so difficult because she is also one of the best left backs.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do you as a coach say, oh, okay, like we don't really have anybody, but now we have Jenna Nyswanger.
Yeah.
So there is room for her to play more up, but she doesn't seem to be doing that. So I don't know. It's like, if she hasn't done it now, like, is she ever going to do it?
Yeah.
I think Gotham has her listed as like a forward on their preseason roster, but I don't believe anything Gotham says. Like, I'm like, they're like forward. I'm like, sure, Jam. Like, she'll be in goal in the next game.
Get the gloves on.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. It's disappointing because, you know, she's said she would love to, but at the end of the day, she wants to be on the pitch.
Exactly.
So,
yeah. It's like,
and she's so good. She's so good at left back. So it'll be interesting to see, though, now with Jenna Nyswanger. Does that leave room open for Crystal Dunn to now make her case to be in the midfield? Because we could use her.
Yeah, I agree. I think the one thing, and maybe this is, maybe Crystal Dunn under the Vlaco era was, I mean, in general, I would just love to see Crystal Dunn score more goals up front a little bit more.
Yeah.
And just even if she took one or two shots a game in a national team jersey, that would be great.
Yeah.
But we do not – I can't truly remember the last, like, decent shot that she got in a game.
Yeah, I can't either.
For the U.S., which is like – I just see it. I'm like, there's no way that she can't. And we've seen the goals she scored for the Thorns.
And the courage.
Yeah.
And it's such a disconnect to see that. but it's like, I don't know why we just don't have like that. We didn't have that left back talent or people they liked in that left back role. And then she was just like so good. They're like, well, it's like when they tell you, like, don't be too good at your job.
Basically. Do the bare minimum so that you can keep getting your paycheck and not any extra. But, you know, she got left off the 2015 roster, which obviously motivated her a lot in that 2019 roster. But, you know, if she was there 2015, we would have won as well.
Yeah.
And obviously, she had a great 2019 World Cup. So, okay. Let's wrap up there. Everybody, thank you so much again for all the people who submitted questions. Shout out. We got the Tonelli gang. they're fans of you. Our fans are fans of you. So it's all good. There's a lot of cross pollination.
Oh, good.
As they say.
Oh,
yeah. This is what I think our audience, and I think maybe sometimes because of because we're comedians, mm-hmm. there's an expectation that we're just going to be sort of brash and our fans are going to be trolls and all that stuff. We have some of the kindest, sweetest people.
Yeah.
Really
women
do.
Soccer. Our community is just so cool. We have like a Slack channel. Everybody's just like,
that's awesome.
Awesome and supportive and great. And nobody's like, you're talking about women's soccer. Nobody's like that. Everybody's like, please talk more about it.
I actually find, obviously, like the internet is like vitriol central sometimes. But the community around soccer and women's soccer in particular is, for the most part, like very supportive, very kind, very fun. Like, we all just want to like grow this game and see them succeed and see like kick-ass players like Crystal Dunn score goals. And so, I love it.
I'd be fine with some shots on target. That's all.
Let's start small. Shots on target.
Well, Jenna Tonelli, thank you so much for joining me. Seriously, just really, really, again, long overdue, and you're welcome back anytime. This was so fun. Everybody, make sure you go follow Jenna on, is Twitter the main place?
For now, until
you start up your TikTok again.
Somebody told me I should be on TikTok, and I was like, I don't know. I don't think I have the...
I mean, have you seen the, especially with Gotham? Gotham, some of the players are great on TikTok.
They are great on TikTok.
Who is it? Maitane.
Oh, Maitane. Oh, my God.
Getting all the players to speak Spanish. Neely Martin speaking Spanish.
I know.
Is a beast, bro.
It's hilarious. I love it. She's great. Also, great player, great center back. She could play midfield.
Oh, yeah. But,
A big fan of her.
She's great. She was a huge reason why, you know, the NWSL final went the way it did. She was a beast.
Oh,
yeah,
yes. 100%. And I don't know if you watched any of that tournament they did down in Colombia, but she was like
I saw the highlights.
She was like the player of the match in the final for sure. Right. So, yeah, she's great.
I mean, yeah. So TikTok, it's all because of her TikTok. Yeah. That's why she's so good. So go check that out. At Jenna Tonelli
on everywhere.
Go give her a follow. And subscribe to Equalizer if you want women's soccer coverage.
Yes, we're having a sale right now. It's like $2 a month for your first year. So.
Amazing. All right. Yeah. So everybody go over and do that. It's at Equalizer Soccer as well on Twitter. And it's always nice, you know, even when I go to NWSL games, although I was at the championship and then there was somebody from Equalizer there filming the... I think they were doing an Instagram live of the broadcast of the skills competition.
There was no coverage.
Everybody was like the only place we can watch
Taylor.
It.
Taylor. Yep. Our writer Taylor Vincent was there. She did a great job.
Yeah, so that's it's just
I do that all the time for Gotham. I'm always like going on live, like when they do stuff post match. I'm like, all right, I'm on live now. Like I don't know. I might be 23, but I don't really know what I'm doing.
This is Jenna Tonelli is the broadcast for Gotham coverage. Stuff like that. So, Jenna, thank you so much. This has been super, super cool.
Thank
everybody. Like I said, make sure you follow Jenna. Follow at Soccer Cooligans on all social channels. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Shout out to everybody watching on DraftKings Network. And subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/soccercooligans for, you know, so you can ask questions to our guests and have access to exclusive content. Everybody, as always, y'all are the best. Thank you so much. We will see you Monday. Alexis will be back, and we'll see how upset Thierry Henry is with him. Cheers, everybody.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand, and he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.